Welcome to Ugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia. Today is July the 21st. And joining me in the studio is Mary Jo and Lee. Good morning, lady and gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hi, Sam.
How are you all?
Very good.
A plus.
A plus. That's not what you and I were just talking about before the show began, Lee.
I got my show face, my game face.
There you are, your game face.
Don't tell his secrets. Am I on?
Yeah,
you're on.
Don't tell his secrets, Sam.
Well, that's all right. We were talking about being old and exercising and being injured all the time. So that's another story. Joining us today is Victoria Archibald. She is with Care Patrol, and she is a certified senior advisor. So good morning, Victoria. How are you?
Good morning, Sam. I'm outstanding. How are you?
Now, see, there's the radio voice. See,
that's
funny.
That is a pro.
As you were warming up, we had a question, and boy, that's right. You rose to the occasion. That's great.
Thank you.
Well, we welcome, we're glad you're a guest. We welcome you. And why don't we begin by you telling us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, a little background information.
Certainly. Thank you for inviting me to be a guest on your show this morning. Thank you, Mary Jo.
You're so welcome.
It's been great getting to know you. Mm. I grew up in Arkansas, so I am a grit girl raised in the South. And I did my undergraduate work at the University of Memphis. And after graduate school, after undergrad, I went to work for a little small consumer packaged goods company called Procter & Gamble. I worked in sales for P&G out of college and went on to a number of different sales roles with different companies. I worked in the bottling industry for a couple of years. Then I came to Atlanta in the mid-80s to pursue my graduate degree. I got my graduate degree and decided to enter the world of brand management. So I went to work for a company in St. Louis called Ralston Purina, pet food company, and was in marketing for them for a number of years. Came back to Atlanta in 93 with Pillsbury.
Wow, you've worked for the big boys, haven't you?
Yes, yes. Worked for Pillsbury here and then also in Minneapolis at their headquarters. And then in 99, went to work for another large food company and moved to the Cincinnati area. And lived in Cincinnati for about 14 years. And in 2014, last year, I decided to come back to Atlanta and become part of the Care Patrol team and work in the elder care industry.
So do you have friends or relatives here in Atlanta, or had you been here before?
I've been here twice before, in grad school and then in worked for Pillsbury here for a number of years.
What'd you get? Master's
MBA.
In communication? Oh, Master's MBA. In Business
yes.
Administration.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I interviewed for I interviewed with P&G, but they didn't pick me.
Well, it was their loss.
Oh, thank you.
So did you choose? This is a franchise?
Yes, it is.
So you had infinite choices when it came to your second act in your career here. How did you land on Care Patrol?
Sure. The thing that was very intriguing to me about, I knew I wanted to work in the elder care industry. I love the idea of helping seniors. And in looking at different options in elder care, what attracted me about Care Patrol is I get to help families really walk the journey around finding the best care options for their loved ones, whether it be assisted living or memory care or in-home care, helping them to determine if it's time for long-term care, really helping families to kind of navigate through that whole maze of options that are out there for care.
But what drew you to elder care?
Yeah, that's what do you have family
I
that
have
you
family.
Took care of?
I, or? Not that I personally took care of. My mom brought my grandmother in to live with her right before her passing. And I was part of that process, and it was very difficult. I love my grandmother dearly. I was actually with her, holding her hand when she made her transition. And then, of course, my parents, my mom and my stepdad, are now in their 80s, and we've had some health challenges with them. Mm-hmm. I've helped other family members since I've been part of Care Patrol find assisted living for their family members.
Did you have something when you were younger that you spent a lot of time with your grandparents? A lot of people who get into elder care have some, you know, moment that happens, or at least a part of their life growing up that was impacted by an older person.
Grandma.
I was very, very close to my grandmother growing up, and actually had an opportunity. I was fairly young, maybe in my teens, early teens, when my great grandmother was still alive. So, and I think growing up in the South, I gained an appreciation for seniors, for the elderly. Mm-hmm. I was taught to be very respectful of people who were older. And so it's just always been part of my DNA to respect and cherish the elderly.
Now, at what point were you thinking of in your second act to go this way of an elder care franchise? Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be able to serve families first and foremost, and I didn't have a background in elder care or a clinical background, so I needed to make sure I had the right training mm-hmm. in order to do the best job in serving families, and that's what Care Patrol offered. So that was
so you felt good about the sales and marketing aspect of your job,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not a problem there.
So you just wanted to make sure that the training was right in order for you to serve your clients.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Where's the corporate office, Vicki?
Care Patrol corporate office is in Gilbert, Arizona, which is a suburb of Phoenix.
Did you go there for some of your training?
I went there for franchisee training for an entire week of training.
And the certified senior advisor training is pretty hefty too, isn't it?
Yes, yes. All Care Patrol franchisees are required to be certified as certified senior advisors, which is a national accrediting agency. It teaches us a lot about the aging process and all the elements, whether it be financial or medical. We get immersed in providing care and services to seniors and their families through that training. We also are held to a very strict code of ethics as a member of CSA. It's been very helpful because we can also tap into a lot of resources that the Society of Certified Senior Advisors provide to us as members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you get a family, what's the process, mm-hmm. and how do you find them?
Mm-hmm. Well, we primarily get our referrals from skilled rehab. When someone has been discharged from the hospital, goes into rehab, and is being about to be discharged, but can no longer go home to stay at home independently. Once I receive the call, I go in and I meet with the senior and I meet with their families. And we have kind of a three-step process that we go through. The first step is what we call a care discovery. It's actually a pretty in-depth assessment, which includes understanding what the person's activities of daily living is. They're instrumental, what we call ADLs, instrumental ADLs. Their medical and healthcare needs, what kind of medications they're taking, if they have any preferences in terms of area of the city that they want to be in, any social needs and preferences, and of course, financially, their financial resources. So we do a very in-depth assessment, and that assessment directs us to which options we will recommend and present to the family, whether it be in-home care or long-term care or assisted living or personal
a combo,
care.
Like
or a combo.
As we talked about off the air. You
absolutely.
Know.
They may start off with in-home care, and then as the person's health conditions decline, they may find a need to either transition to long-term care or assisted living. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then once we do the assessment, we recommend some options to the families. And then we set up a personalized tour, which is very important. And I'd like to spend just a couple of minutes on this tour. Oftentimes what families get is a list of places that they themselves are told to go and check out. And that's not altogether bad, you know, but there are a lot of things that a family may not know to ask about or look for when they are going on their own. So we, because we are really experts in this arena, we can provide and can really guide them and advise them and consult with them on what to look for. We understand what the various communities, their core competencies are, what level of care they can provide, what their care and violation history is, because we want to make sure it's a safe placement. We want to make sure that they're not just looking at the physical aesthetics of a particular home or community, but that they are also understanding what the care is and what the history is of that particular community. Mm-hmm. So we really direct them and help them to save time, money, and effort and frustration. And then once we tour and they select a place for their loved one, we then, and they move in, we then follow up with that client within the first 30 days. We go in, we follow up to make sure that they are adjusting well in that environment. And just, you know, from time to time, continue to keep in touch with the family.
You gave me a great analogy off air, Vicki, mm-hmm. of what you do. Mm-hmm. And as I have a career in real estate, so you're almost kind of like a buyer's agent, if people are familiar with the real estate world.
Sure.
The buyers never pay anything.
Exactly.
And your clients, help me with that.
Sure. So much like a realtor would tour families to see new homes and to really sort of do a lot of the legwork for the families, we sort of use that analogy as well. We never charge families for our services. Our fees are paid by the providers once a placement is done. Mm-hmm. So the families don't have that extra burden of thinking, okay, I've got to write a check and pay someone to help me figure out what's a safe care option for my loved one. Mm-hmm. We do not charge mm-hmm. families for our services.
And also, as you already mentioned, like a realtor, you have some expertise in it, so you can help them with questions to ask.
Absolutely.
And certifications and violations and all those kind of things.
And through the assessment process that we do up front, we can also direct them, you know, sometimes with dementia and Alzheimer's being such a huge epidemic right now, sometimes there are clues that the senior might be experiencing a mild stage of dementia, and the family hasn't really noticed that or picked up on that.
Or they don't want to.
Exactly. That's something that I'm trained to assess and can also have that conversation with the families to at least look at that when we're looking at the different options. Because if that's the case, we may want to make sure we go to places that can provide care for someone with dementia.
In the distance.
Absolutely.
In the future.
And Vicki, describe for the listening audience those facilities that would have this, quote, memory care ability.
Sure. So all assisted living communities are not created equal. There are some that have a separate, what they call neighborhood, that is secured for people who are suffering with dementia or Alzheimer's. And they have programs that are specific. They have caregivers that are trained in how to care for people with dementia and Alzheimer's. And some communities do not offer that. So it really just depends. And that's why when we work with families, we are able to direct them to those communities that can best meet their loved ones' needs.
A situation that we see often in our business that's becoming more and more
prevalent
is a couple. Mm-hmm. And one of the couples has a memory disorder. Mm-hmm. How does that, how is that addressed inside an assisted living with a memory care or without a memory care?
Sure. That's a great question, Sam. So the communities that we work with that have both assisted living and memory care within the building, sometimes what will happen is the family may choose for the couple to live in the assisted living portion of the building because one of the couples does not have dementia or Alzheimer's and doesn't necessarily need to be part of that
secure community.
Mm-hmm. But the person who does have dementia or Alzheimer's can do their activities during the day within that memory care neighborhood. They can basically sleep and live in the AL part and be part of the memory care community during the day.
Or it can be vice versa.
Yeah,
and yes. The point being that it allows the couple to remain together.
Yes.
And sometimes, and I've even seen this, now this becomes expensive, but the individual with the memory disorder will be in the memory care unit, and then the other part of the couple, the spouse, will be in the normal assisted living. Now, obviously, that's double because you're two rooms, but
right.
That's even possible.
That is possible.
The point being, it allows the couple to remain together.
Exactly, which is very important.
Right. Yes. It's important for both.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
So next. Now, can you walk us through when is it usually the child that contacts you or is it the elder?
It can be an adult child. It can be a spouse who needs has noticed they need care for the other spouse. It can be a social worker from a rehab community or facility. It can be a discharge planner from a hospital or a case manager from a hospital. It can be a friend or a neighbor or a sister or a sibling. They come from all different.
All right, let's play out the hypothetical of it. It's the child mm-hmm. of the parent.
Mm-hmm.
How does that conversation go? Do you help equip the child with the tools to help, you know, kind of make the transition easier for the parent? Because sometimes the parent doesn't see the need that maybe the child sees.
Absolutely. That's oftentimes the case. So I would start out by having sort of a phone conversation with the child, with the adult child, to just get a sense of what's going on with the parent. And then
are there things they should be looking for? Are there kind of, mm-hmm. you know, red flags that maybe there is some urgency here?
Sure. Well, oftentimes it has, some medical emergency has happened to necessitate the call. Mom has fallen.
So it's some crisis.
It's some crisis. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Very few times is it that everything's going great and we just want to do some pre-planning, which we would recommend.
Which would be great.
Oftentimes it is a crisis situation. Mom is in the hospital about to be discharged. Mom or dad is in a rehab about to be discharged and cannot go home and live independently. So oftentimes it is brought on by a crisis.
And
episode.
So that means there's like a clock now.
Yes.
Right. They have to make a decision in a short period of time.
Yes.
And that's overwhelming for most people because they're not educated in all the, they don't know what they don't know.
Exactly.
And that's why it's important to have somebody like you that is familiar with this, that can kind of quarterback the situation.
Exactly. I couldn't have put that better myself.
and it's very important, Victoria, for the listening audience to understand truly what an assisted living facility is.
Sure.
Speak to the level of care mm-hmm. that these facilities can deliver,
mm-hmm.
and then to the level of care that they can't.
They can, yeah. Yes. So assisted living communities are able to help seniors with what we call ADLs, activities of daily living. That's bathing, toileting, dressing, grooming, preparing meals, managing medication, transferring, helping them with socialization, which if there's one thing I would want to leave the audience with is seniors alone at home during the day being entertained or, babysat by the TV is not good for them physically or emotionally or mentally. So the activities that these communities provide in terms of socialization cannot be overemphasized. That is so critically important. And they provide that. Many of them provide that. Many of them will have a dedicated activities director whose full-time job is to make sure that their residents have engaging things to do during the day to keep them active and stimulated and healthy. Many of these assisted living communities will have either an LPN or an RN who is a full-time staff member. So if there are medical needs that happen during their stay, they can do an assessment and determine if it's something that they can treat there in the community or whether they need to take them to the ER.
You know, it's very important. Mary Jo and I have a client, and you were describing what the assisted living facility is able to do. Address issues, as you described, that relate to the activities of daily living. We have a client that's in a facility right now, and he is very alert, he's functioned, but he cannot transfer. Mm-hmm. He cannot even assist mm-hmm. to transfer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That presents a problem.
Yes, it does.
And see, and as we talk, I mean, he's functioning. If you can get him up and mm-hmm. if you can get him into the wheelchair, mm-hmm. he's high functioning. You get him down, you know, you will go anywhere. But he can't even assist mm-hmm. in getting out of the bed to the point that really, from a safety standpoint, we should have a lift. Right. Well, you can't do that in an assisted living. And so, I mean, the listening audience has to understand that there's a progression mm-hmm. of care, and as the level of care increases, mm-hmm. then you've got to make decisions about where you're going to be next.
Right.
Yeah.
That is
very,
correct.
Very difficult.
That is correct.
So after assisted living, there's what, skilled nursing or
long-term
memory
care? Right. Well,
or is memory care always
skilled? Memory care and assisted living, memory care is usually a neighborhood within assisted living, within the assisted living building.
And the typical is as Victoria, the real distinguishing issues there are, first of all,
security.
It's secured.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you know, that's always that's a negative connotation, but it is a safe mm-hmm. environment mm-hmm. for those who have memory disorders, and their activities and the during the day are structured to accommodate and to hopefully overcome those memory disorders. It's not skilled. They're not delivering nursing care.
No.
It just focuses on that issue.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I want to know how often and what kind of tools they give you. This is a big old hairy question, Vicki. When do you
that's scary.
Yeah. Do you meet up with resistance sometimes on the part of the parents that, mm-hmm. that need more care than they really
Yeah, give us
want?
A, give us advice how to overcome
Yeah, do
that.
Give us advice. You know, we have seen statistics that bear out that people do well if they age at home, especially mm-hmm. if they want to age at home. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's just not feasible. And so you've got the kids really wanting to make sure mom and dad are safe, but mom and dad don't want assisted living. Sometimes they don't even want a caregiver
sure.
in the home.
Sure.
Now, so what kind of rights do the kids have? Do they have to have, what if there's no POA? Mm-hmm. What in the heck do you do then?
Well, the first thing I would say is they should have a power of attorney, a durable power of attorney. And all of us should have that. I mean, I have that, and I'm not anywhere near being, you know, a senior citizen per se. We should all have that, no matter where you are, what age group you are in.
Giving someone we trust the ability to make the decisions.
Decisions when we are unable to make those decisions for ourselves. And that's all it means. It doesn't mean you're giving up control. It doesn't mean, you know, you're going to lose freedom. It just means that if something were to happen and you are no longer mentally able to make decisions for yourself, that someone that you trust and can depend on would make those decisions on your behalf. That's really all about having a power of attorney means.
Can an adult child get a power of attorney without cooperation from a parent? Like with
no.
a doc? No.
No.
They need cooperation from
a parent. Well, with a court order, they could.
Well,
but
with a court order.
You're talking
yes,
about a
yes.
very, very difficult
yes,
situation.
Yes.
And maybe can get help from a doctor or, you know.
Right. If the senior has not been diagnosed as having dementia or Alzheimer's by a doctor, it is very difficult if the senior does not agree to grant power of attorney.
And even if they are diagnosed with a memory disorder, it's still difficult because you're fighting what they want, and it's a constant battle. In our business, it probably is the most difficult situation. Mm-hmm. We come in, we see a client in the home, and they don't want us there.
Right.
They don't want anyone there. Mm-hmm. I mean, and if the truth has been known, sometimes they're angry at the children because they don't want to depend upon the children or whatever the situation may be. Maybe they have a bad relationship. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. They don't want you there.
Right.
And though they need it. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult to past that obstacle and figure out, okay, how do I relate to this individual in a manner that they understand that we're here to help, mm-hmm. not to take away freedom, but to help.
And to facilitate independence. But that's our job, and probably a big part of your job.
Absolutely.
It's to help them understand how, an independent living or assisted living or whatever, or a home care company can facilitate their independence, not take it away from them.
That's exactly right. And that's what you want to do.
Right.
We're not trying to take away Mr. Client. We're allowing you to do what you want to do
and give you some help. Right.
In a safe and secure manner.
Absolutely.
With a little bit of help from someone.
Sure.
Now, that's obviously, the pill's still the pill. Mm-hmm. It might be a different shape, but sometimes it's hard for people just to accept that.
Right.
It's that simple.
Right. What I would say, and you have expressed it correctly, it's a very difficult issue to try to handle and wrangle. But I would say that in an ideal world, if the adult children would have these conversations and these discussions with their aging parents
early.
Well in advance
yes.
of something like this happening, that would mitigate a lot of these problems.
Say that again. Say it 10,000 times because you're right.
Yeah.
But again, what happens? What did you say happened? It's always a moment of crisis
yes.
that brings these situations on.
Yes.
And I'm no different than anyone else. I did it to my parents. We didn't have a caregiver in until my mother died and, my dad was alone.
Mm-hmm.
There
mm-hmm.
you go.
Yeah.
But again, you have to start talking about this.
Absolutely.
And planning well in advance.
Yes.
And honestly, there's something about the human makeup, the human spirit,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't want to plan for the ultimate end, which is it's death.
Exactly.
And they just don't want to. And I understand that. I'm not shortchanging that. But yet you need to.
Absolutely.
And so again, another difficult situation to address.
And I'm hoping that seniors would look at us, what you guys do, what I do, in the same way they look at their primary care physician. We are part of that community of folks who are there to help them, whether it's, a doctor writing a prescription or, treating a particular illness, or you guys providing care to that person in home where they can maintain, still maintain a segment, a large part of their independence, or me who's helping to look at all the options that are out there and trying to help the family reach some decisions about which option is best for their loved one.
Before we run out of time, I want you to tell them, Vicki, about what area you can cover and also about your reciprocity with some other care patrol.
Sure. Well, there are three care patrol offices in Metro Atlanta. So among the three of us, we cover all of Metro Atlanta, South Side, North Side, East Side, West Side. And we work as a team. So if I have a family that I'm working with that needs to be in one of my colleagues' area, then I work with that colleague to find the best place to place that client. We're all trained the same way. I would like to think that it's like going to, whatever service you receive from me, you're going to receive a similar service from one of my colleagues. the main thing is that, again, you know, we are happy to talk with families if they are anticipating that mom or dad has a surgery that's coming up, that they may not be able to come back and live home at home, or they may be able to come back and live at home with the assistance of a caregiver. In that case, I would be reaching out to the to you guys. But that preparation, that, you know, not putting off making a decision is what we would absolutely recommend. You know, make those decisions early, have those conversations early, so that when that time comes, there is a plan in place for what we're going to do with
it's so important. And we've seen it. Lee's heard this story how many times? Hundreds
right.
of times. And it's true. It's usually a crisis that stimulates or starts the process, and it should start well in advance of that.
Absolutely.
And you can avoid a lot of issues if you would do that.
Absolutely.
And there's no cost involved when they call you. You can do the legwork for them. They can get on your radar, and you can start a process.
Absolutely.
So it doesn't have to be hurried, right?
Right.
It doesn't have to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Victoria,
exactly.
If I were to ask you, and you can, well, you answer this how you see fit. What is the one differentiator between you and Care Patrol and the other services,
placement services
that are out there?
I would say that we are significantly trained to help families help themselves, you know, whether that is, you know, talking with the families about how to get mom and dad to the decision of, yes, we need care either to come in home or we need to move into assisted living. We are constantly being trained. We're several times a month, we're on webinars, learning different techniques to help families make this very, very stressful time in their lives. So the training is by far, I think, what separates us. The passion that we have, you know, our company was founded by a social worker. He's an MSW, and he very much instills in all of us the sense of helping people to help themselves. And that's a very important differentiator for us.
Well, and it's so true. It's good information. And tell our listening audience how they could reach you.
Sure. My phone number is area code 404-583-1231. Our website is www.carepatrol.com. Carepatrol.com. And I would also, Sam, mention to business owners who are listening, we have a program called elderbenefits.com, which I would love to talk to your business owners about offering to their employees. Again, this is a way for people to be proactive in understanding what might happen down the road if they're not there yet. But it's a benefit that companies can offer to their employees, and it's free to the employee and the employer. And I would love the opportunity to speak with the business owners about how they can implement this program into their companies for their employees.
Good. Great information. We thank you, Victoria, for being our guest.
Thank you.
Love to have you back at some point in the future. If there's other topics or if there are events that you're involved in, please reach out to Mary Jo. We'd love to have you back.
Absolutely. And I would like to mention one other thing. We are sponsoring a Day with Tipa Snow event on September 30th. And again, they can, anyone who's interested, Tipa is a nationally renowned dementia expert. And anyone who's interested in more information on that program can call me at 404-583-1231. That event is September 30th.
Great, great. Once again, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you, Sam.
Thanks,
thank you, Mary Jo.
You are so welcome.
That's it for today. We want to remind those in the audience that they can go to our website, eugeriaradio.com, and bring up and listen to any broadcast that, we have posted. And as we do, we want to close and say that if the youth of this nation is its greatest natural resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you, and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.